This morning's reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is God's word for us today. You may be seated.
Good morning and welcome to Grace. My name is Josh Habman. I'm the executive pastor here at Grace. And just because it is Easter and we ought to say this as often as possible. This one's dead, Steve. Nope, it's not. He is risen. Just took a little resurrection power. God provided. And if you didn't get to say it that time or the time when Jason said it, I'm going to say it one more time. And if you're in the lobby or if you're in room 308, thank you for joining us today. We are sorry that there wasn't seats for you here, but we are glad that you are with us. And we're going to say this again. Thank you, sir. And we're going to say it together, even if you're in the lobby or even if you're in 308, not because we need to hear you, but because you need to hear yourself say this. So say it with me. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Amen. This series, this sermon actually, is called, the remotes aren't working. That's the title of today's service. It's called Foundation of Hope. And we're talking about our foundation of hope this morning in the person of Jesus Christ. And that should be no surprise to you. You all came to a Christian church on Easter morning. But it is still worth talking about why Jesus is our hope and what it is that we want to put our hope in that is not him. Looks like it caught up with me. So we're going to be talking this morning about what hope is, about how it is a desire for a preferred future, how it is a desire that is often placed in the things of man, the things that we control. And as a result of that, it is often uncertain. In fact, almost always it is uncertain, unstable, unreliable. The things that we want to place our hope in are often human hopes, human dreams, human wishes even. And as a result, we don't know what the outcome is. We can't be sure. We ask ourselves questions like, will I get what I want? Will there be the person that I want at the end of this? Will the person that I love me back? Even though we have hope in those relationships, in those outcomes, the hope is misplaced because it can die. And that's the thing that we don't like to talk about, and we've done a lot of work in our culture and our society to make sure that we don't have to think about death, but it's a reality. We know it's a reality, and when we take a minute to pause and to think about how real it is, it frightens us. We don't like to think about it. So we need something else, and the Bible offers us something else. It offers us a hope that is a confident expectation, not just an unstable or unreliable wish, but a confident expectation, a desire for something that is promised and a promise that will be kept. And I've got Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 here because, actually 3, 5 through 12 here, because this is the kind of hope that we're pointed at this morning as we talk about what hope is and what we ought to be aimed toward. Many of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Many of you have heard that before, but the passage goes on to talk about the kinds of things that are consistent with a hope that is unfailing. In verse 7, it says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. In the passage that Linda just read, Peter talks about being disciplined for now, because it tests us and it tries us, and it's like gold going through a refiner's fire, and when it comes out, all of the impurities are gone, and that is what true hope does for us. So as we talk about, can you advance the slide, please? As we talk about hope this morning, let's talk about what it means for God to transform our hope from something that is unreliable, that is insubstantial, to something that is foundational. From something that can be lost to someone who is alive forever. That's the transition we want to talk about. So we'll talk about what it means to find hope. Like many of you, Peter found hope in Jesus. And so we're going to look at Peter's story today, because like many of you, Peter found hope in Jesus and then has had many occasions in his life to lose that hope. And some of you know Peter's story. You know the depths of despair that he reached. But Jesus came and gave him everlasting hope. And we want to find out what that looked like, because that's what we need. So not only are we going to talk about losing hope, but we're going to talk about our living hope in Jesus. If you're able, please pray with me. If you're desirous of this from the Lord, please pray with me as we start. God, I thank you and I praise you for being our living hope, for being the one who lived, died, and lives again, and now will never die. Lord, you are risen indeed, and we praise you for this, and we ask now that you would be present with us as we look at this story of your friend and your brother, of our brother, Peter, who came to the conclusion that you were an everlasting foundation of hope. But through trial, Lord, he struggled mightily, just as we do. So help us to see in him ourselves and what you would do for us to save us. Pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Move the slide, please. So here's the passage that Linda just read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Those sound like great words. Those sound like Apostle Peter in his office doing his thing. Great thoughts, great power in those words from Peter. But if you know the story of Peter, you know that he doesn't start there, and you know that he has to go through some dark times to get there. So how is it that Peter ends up teaching us this about Jesus? Let's look at that. Let's figure out how he gets there. Next slide. Peter has to find hope, and Peter finds hope in this way. He meets Jesus, and he begins to follow Jesus. If you've got a Bible and you want to turn to either John or Matthew, you can do that, and you can read about how Peter and his brother Andrew are fishing, and Jesus comes along, and he calls them, and he says, hey, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I'll take what you're doing, this thing that you're doing, this fishing, this job, this occupation, and I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to make it something wholly other, wholly different, that you had never planned on, but ultimately is going to lead to your salvation and the salvation of many other people. And they're like, great, sign us up. Let's do that. And Peter even gets to the point in Matthew 16 where he is ready to confess that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He has the words of eternal life. And Peter says, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. I know who you are, and I trust you. And I believe that you have what's in my best interest in mind, in your heart, always, that's who you are, that's the God that you are. And our hopes, like Peter's, are often aimed in that right direction. We start out in a right way. Many of you know Jesus. Many of you have chosen to follow him. You've made a profession of faith, and you're choosing to follow him, just like Peter did. Peter recognizes that Jesus has the words of eternal life. He makes the good confession. Some of you have done that yourself, and yet still you get lost. Still you feel lost. So why is that? What's going on here? Why is it that Peter apparently has hope in Christ? He says, he acknowledges, Peter says, you are the Christ. But then his actions change. What changes about his actions? What's going on? Eddie, can you turn the slide? Well, here's what happens. Peter hangs on to hopes that have nothing to do with Jesus. He hangs on to desires that have nothing to do with Jesus. And as a result, he finds that his hopes and Jesus' hopes are not aligned. I'm going to turn a minute to Matthew chapter 16. If you have a Bible, turn there with me. Matthew chapter 16 is a fairly famous account of Peter and Jesus talking about what Jesus is going to do. What's going to happen? So Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 and 22, we get the beginning of this. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, to be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now that's a description of what Jesus is telling his disciples. It's also a description of the hope that he's offering them. Jesus is telling them, I need to die and be raised. I need to be dead and then alive again so that you can have everlasting life. So it is a description of what he's about to do, but also what he's offering. Here's a foundation for you. Everlasting life. Here's a foundation for you. Hope that can't be lost. In verse 22, Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. So here's what happens. Here's how Peter loses his hope. He doesn't put all of his faith and hope and trust in the Lord. Jesus is there telling him exactly what needs to happen, exactly what he is going to do, Jesus is going to do to save Peter and all mankind. And yet, Peter is putting his hope somewhere else. He doesn't want Jesus to die. He wants Jesus to reign as a king. He wants Jesus to overthrow the Roman Empire. He wants Jesus to establish a kingdom there and now. And Peter wants to be one of the people who's sitting on a throne next to Jesus, helping him to rule that kingdom. That's his hope. Not the hope that Jesus is offering, but something that he's made for himself. And he begins to lose that hope. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death. Peter's hoping for something else. If we skip down to verse 33 in chapter 26 of Matthew, we see exactly what Peter is still thinking. So this is at the Last Supper. Peter has heard many more times now that Jesus needs to die. And Jesus tells his disciples, he says, here's what's going to happen. The shepherd, that's Jesus, will be struck and all the flock will be scattered. And Jesus says, but don't worry about that, because after I'm raised up, I'll go before you to Galilee. But then 26:33, Peter responds to that and he says, though everyone around you falls away because of you, I will never fall away. So Peter has begun to lose the hope that Jesus is going to establish a kingdom right then and right there. But he is still putting faith and hope and confidence in himself. He's still trusting in himself. And he says, Jesus, trust me at least. Believe me when I tell you that if all of these people abandon you, I will not. And if you know this story, you know, in fact, that Peter will both deny and abandon Jesus. And Jesus tells Peter that. He says, not only will you not stand by me, but you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Peter is losing more of his hope. He had put hope in the fact that there would be an earthly kingdom that Jesus would rule over, that Peter could participate in ruling over, and that has eroded now. And now he's putting his hope still in his own ability to fight, his own ability to hang on, his own ability to be the guy that Jesus needs to keep Jesus from dying, because Peter still doesn't see the reason for or the need for Jesus to die. And then Jesus is arrested. And Peter literally fights to preserve that personal hope. He takes out a sword and he cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest who has come out with the group to arrest Jesus. And Peter gets a rebuke from Jesus Jesus tells him, listen, that sword of yours, it's not going to secure the foundation of hope. The thing that you want so desperately, that earthly kingdom where you help me to rule and reign, where you get to be my personal bodyguard, where you get to save me from death, all of those things that you so earnestly desire, they're not actually good for you. And so you're going to lose them so that you can see how bad for you they really are. And so Jesus takes that hope away. That human hope dies with Jesus. If you read the end of Matthew chapter 26, you see that Jesus is first accused and then tried and then convicted and then eventually hung on a cross. And Peter is watching. Peter's there. He's in this courtyard and he's watching. And three times people ask him, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Don't you know Jesus? And three times he denies. And in John's account, he even sees Jesus. They make eye contact. And we know from the end of both of those stories, in Matthew and in John, that Peter goes away. He weeps. He is broken and he is bitter because all of his hope is lost. All of the hopes that he had placed in doing something for Jesus, in being something with Jesus, are being lost. And his intentions were good. Remember that Peter listened to Jesus. Jesus walked along this beach. He saw Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me. Peter said, you got it. I'll do that. Peter made this confession of faith. He said, yes, I believe in you, Lord. His intentions were good. But the hope that he held on to was not just Jesus. It was not like it says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He trusted in the Lord with most of his heart. But he continued to lean on his own understanding. He continued to take his sword with him, hoping that he could be the one who would protect Jesus from death when Jesus was trying to die for his own sake, for Peter's own sake. So Peter had to lose that. We have to lose that. If we put our full faith and trust in anything other than Jesus, we will follow the same path that Peter followed. We'll be disappointed, we'll be defeated, and we'll despair. And that's where Peter ends up. We don't get to see exactly what happens to Peter after he leaves the courtyard. We know that at the cross, John is there, some of the female disciples are there, Jesus' mother Mary is there. Peter's not. As far as we know, Peter is not there. He's run, he's hid, he's in despair because he's lost hope. And most of you know what it means to lose hope. Most of you have experienced that to varying degrees. Sometimes it's just, I really wanted this job, or I was really banking on this relationship working out, and it's fizzled, it's broken down, it hasn't happened the way you wanted. But some of you have lost hope in serious ways, like the loss of a loved one, or a cancer or another illness diagnosis that you just don't even know how to grapple with. Some of you have lost hope because your loved one is still physically here, but they're mentally gone. And you live day in and day out not knowing how to love that person well. And like Peter, like all of us, you will despair if you have a foundation that can be lost. If our foundation can be lost, there is no hope. And yet we know that Peter ultimately is going to write these words. He is going to say, in this we rejoice, in Christ Jesus we rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. How does Peter get to the place where he's able to say, you know what, those trials, they grieve you, but ultimately they're like when you put gold through a refiner's fire. Ultimately, it's like taking away the impurity. Ultimately, it's like discipline from a loving father. How does Peter get to that spot? Because understand, not only does Peter despair at losing Jesus, but Peter will be beaten for his faith. Peter will be imprisoned for his faith. And ultimately, Peter will be crucified for his faith. So when he's talking about trials, he is not just talking about disappointments. That's included, but that's not all he's talking about. He's talking about significant persecution. How is it that he gets to this place? How can he understand that those trials will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ? What on earth would convince him that that's true? This. He encounters the resurrected Jesus. Peter gets to see Jesus made alive. He meets Jesus in an upper room. He meets Jesus on a shore having breakfast. He meets Jesus on a walk where Jesus reconciles with Peter. And he says, I know that you abandoned me and that you betrayed me. Along with Judas, you denied me. But I love you. And so not only does Jesus reconcile the relationship, but he reconciles death and life. So this is where the foundation of hope lies. Here's where hope is redefined. Though you have not seen him, you get to love him. Though you don't now see him, you can believe in him and rejoice with joy that it's inexpressible and filled with glory and obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This, Peter says, is where hope is. I said earlier that we don't want to think about death. Peter didn't have a choice. Peter feared for his life. The reason that the disciples all gather in an upper room is because they are afraid that the Roman soldiers, having killed Jesus, are going to come after them next, that they're going to be hunted down. And so they are in a locked room, right? Locked from the inside to prevent anybody from getting in. And they don't want anybody to know that they're there. And then Jesus shows up. The guy that they saw killed, the guy that they heard was dead. Jesus is in their midst. Locks don't matter, walls don't matter. He is resurrected. He is alive. Tell me that wouldn't change your mind about where your hope should be placed. If you went home today and you had the best Easter dinner you could ever have, because I'm sure that's your plan. I mean, some of you are just going to eat Peeps. I know, that's how it works. But most of you are planning on some sort of family gathering. You're going to have this meal. And you eat too much, because that's never happened before. But let's say you do. And you think, oh, I don't feel good. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. And you start to think about your own mortality again. And then all of a sudden, one of your dead relatives is in the living room with you. Somebody that you saw die, or somebody that you know is dead. Maybe you attended their funeral. They are in the living room with you. That would change your perspective, wouldn't it? That would cause you to question a number of things. And that is exactly what happens with Peter and with the other apostles, only this isn't just a strange thing. This is a miraculous, glorious, wonderful thing. That means that all of that hope that they had lost, all of that fear was gone. Because Jesus doesn't just show up. Jesus shows up and he says, hey, look at my hands, look at my feet, put your hand in my side. See, I am the same person who was killed. If you want to touch my wounds, you can, and know that I am that same one who is hanging on the cross, but I am alive, and I will never die again because I have conquered death. So that's the foundation of hope that Peter is being offered. Here's what Peter is learning. He is seeing that a living hope comes from a trustworthy promise maker. He talks about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the one who created the earth, who created the universe, coming down and interacting with him and with his friends and with us, and offering us new life, causing us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Death was just as scary in the first century as it is now. When people died then, they didn't come back. Just like when we die now, we don't come back. There's a reason that is sorrowful. There's a reason that it's a time of brokenness and pain. Because we lose people that we love. And Peter was scared of losing his own life, but he was also scared of Jesus losing his. Part of the reason why Peter says, may it never be, Lord, and why he takes out this sword is because he doesn't want Jesus to die. He doesn't want to lose him. That's his friend. He has seen this man heal people from sickness and feed people who are hungry. He's seen this man reconcile people who are lost to their families. He doesn't want Jesus to die because he thinks that's the end. And Jesus says, no, that's not the end. Believe in me and have everlasting life. So he is a trustworthy promise maker, a powerful promise keeper, and ultimately, he is a God who guarantees eternal life. He calls it an inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. And he describes it this way, as imperishable, undefiled, unfading. You guys know that there is no treasure that we can store on earth that will qualify under those terms, right? You cannot keep money in the bank or digits and zeros in your bank account. You cannot keep gold in the ground. There is nothing that you can store up that will remain imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Everything will break down over time. And that includes physical things, that includes our bodies, everything, except for that which Jesus makes new, except for new life in him. So here is what I want us to arrive at today, this morning, this Easter morning, this idea that God desires to transform our hope from one kind to another, from something that can be lost to something that is alive. I don't know what you're putting your hope in this morning that can be lost, but I know because you're human, because I'm human, because we do this, that you are putting your hope in things that can be lost. You're trusting in things that will fail. And Lord, please help us when we do this, but you have given us an unfading, undefiled, everlasting hope. Help us to see that instead. Help us to see that you are an everlasting God. And if you have found Jesus, trust that today. And if you haven't, keep listening, because I want to give you an offer here in a minute. If you are losing hope, then just give it all away. That seems counterintuitive, but I want to encourage you today, if you are losing hope, then give away, get rid of all of those things that are causing you to lose hope. Be willing to abandon them. And you say, well, I can't abandon my family. I can't abandon the people that I love. That's where I'm losing hope. And I'm not telling you to walk away from your family. I'm saying stop putting your hope in people. Don't trust in everyday people. Don't trust in powerful people. Don't put your hope there because those people will fail. And even if they end their career without any sort of blemish, even if your preferred politician or your preferred business owner or your preferred spouse ends their life with a perfect track record, their life will still end. And if your hope is there, you will lose it when you lose them. So abandon all of those things that are hope apart from Christ. And instead put your hope in him. Our living hope, a real person, Jesus. Put your faith and trust in the resurrected Son of God. He is risen. I'll say it this way so that you know that you're supposed to respond. He is risen.
He is risen.
If you believe that, if you trust that, live like you believe that. Live like Jesus is actually alive. And you may not see him sitting next to you in these seats, or you may not see him in the car with you on the way home, or in the living room next to you after lunch today, but he is risen, he is alive, he is real. That is an everlasting hope. That is an undeniable, unshakable foundation. That's what he wants to offer you today. So he is risen. Find your living hope in him. Believe in him and be saved. And we would be remiss if we did not tell you exactly what that means this morning of all mornings. So hear me clearly. If you do not know Jesus, all that you need to do to know Jesus is to call on his name. The scripture says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what does that mean? What does that mean to call on his name? It means to just say, Jesus, I believe. And the Bible does say you need to repent of your sins. What does that mean? Does that mean you have to clean up your life? You have to stop doing all of the things that you know you shouldn't be doing? No, or no one would ever come to Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. Repent of your sins. Say, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to put my hope in things that are going to die, in people that are going to die, because then I'm hopeless, and I don't want to be hopeless. So put your faith and hope in Jesus because he doesn't die. He has died and risen again, and he is risen indeed. And if you put your faith and hope in Jesus, even if it's just this morning, even if it's just right now, tell somebody, because you need the body of Christ. You need brothers and sisters to walk alongside of you and help you in this. Because he is so good that he doesn't just bless us with everlasting life in the future, but he gives us the whole body of Christ right now. All of these brothers and sisters to walk alongside of you and encourage you and build you up in faith and hope and love. And these remain, no matter what happens, faith, hope, and love, these remain always. And the love that we have from Jesus remains always. He is risen indeed, and his hope is for you today. So if you have put your faith and hope in him for the first time, come and tell me. Come and tell somebody else with a green lanyard. Let us pray with you this morning. Let us encourage you this morning. And if you've been following Jesus for years, tell somebody else. He commands you to go and make disciples. You don't need another invitation. You just received it. You heard me say it. I'm sorry. Go and make disciples. Tell them that you have hope that doesn't fade, that won't perish, that is kept in heaven for you because it's a living person who will not die. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I praise you and I thank you because you are good. You have given us good gifts. Lord, you have given us this good gift of everlasting life. I pray that we would trust, that we would obey, but ultimately, Lord, that we would just hope in you because you do not fail. Everything else will fail. Like Peter, we will be in despair, hiding in a room with a locked door, afraid of what will come next if our hope is not in you. Lord Jesus, put our hope in you this morning. I pray it in your name. Amen. Please stand if you're able. I'm going to read the benediction. And the benediction this morning is just this same verse that we started with. It is 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Because this is where Peter arrived, having put his faith and hope in Jesus, his living hope being Jesus, the living Savior. Here's what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. It is so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Church, know that though you have not seen him, you can love him. And though you do not now see him, you can believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory and obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Go with grace. Have a great week.